Everybody, what's going on? Rob, Sister Nina, we're back for the Special Forces World's Toughest Test finale. And we are the last two people left watching Special Forces World's Toughest Test. Jenny, we did it.
The final two. First two, last two.
Yes. All right. But Jenny, this is your interrogation about the finale of World's Toughest Test. Let me start off. First question. What the frickin' hell did we just watch?
I don't know.
Tell me.
I'm ready.
Tell me.
Dwight, I'm ready to die.
Where's the umpire?
No.
Where's the umpire? Is that Dan Foley? Was Dan Foley from Survivor Worlds Apart the umpire?
Honestly, do you think that Dan Foley could put on the Scottish accent? Because the beard was looking Foley-esque. And that's all we got from the umpire.
Just close your mouth, open your ears, and just watch what happens.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is something the umpire would say.
The adjudicator, known as the umpire, is here. For what? Why was he the judge? The umpire.
And he's apparently big enough of a deal that we can only see his like grizzly gray beard.
I have no idea what the point of any of this was.
You and me both wrong. I finished watching it and I walked out into my living room and I said, I don't know what I just watched.
It's like, all right, you better learn this cover story. You better have this cover story down backwards and forwards because under torturing, you're going to need to know it. And then it was like, also then, but
you're going to abandon it.
Yeah. But also then eventually you're like, you know, if they torture you bad enough, just tell them. Just tell them. Like, and if you don't tell them, then you fail.
Which, again, I do this every freaking week at this point, Rob. But I'm like, they act like it should be so obvious that suddenly the point of something is to go against the logic of everything else that they've told you thus far. And you're just supposed to know this. I have to think that they clearly didn't tell them, okay, well, at a certain point when you know that you're, you know, they're at the end of the rope with you and you might be done, you abandon the cover story and you tell them the real reason you're there. But they probably teach you to do that in Special Forces. So it's like, you're just setting these people up for failure. You gave them this huge elaborate cover story, but they're supposed to know that eventually they need to abandon it.
But I was under the impression, like, okay, like you could torture me. You could do whatever you want. I'm not going to give you any information. You know, those all these stories about like John McCain was in like this, like torture camp and you know, that never give in. But it's like, oh no, you are after a little while, like you got to tell them, like, just tell them everything because they you know, which, they're going to kill
you
anyway.
Get killed then? Like, I don't know the ins and outs. And obviously it depends on the situation, who captured you, what, like, yes, there's obviously a lot of details here that are specific to a situation where this would actually happen. But I have to think that, like, when you're telling the story where you're a celebrity doing a photo shoot about saving the Arabian wolf.
Sounds like you, the what? The what? You sure?
I
are you
said
sure
Arabian,
you know this?
Not Albanian.
Yes.
Like Carly.
How big is it? How big is it?
Oh, it's 26 inches.
Yes, okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, it varies. You know, the natural estimated number that you would come, oh, that's about 26 inches. Yep. Not 25, 26. Yeah. That extra inch.
Yes. You wouldn't say it's, you know, about 2 feet. Yeah.
Oh, as big as a fox? Yeah, you could say that. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but this is so wild to me because it's like you obviously would die in some of these situations. Like, don't you think the cover story of I'm a celebrity just here doing a photo shoot about these foxes we're trying to, or these wolves we're trying to see, I'd be so screwed. And then suddenly when they're going to kill you, you're like, actually, I'm part of the Special Forces. I'm here with the government or
we
something.
Knew
they're
it.
Like, well, now we're really going to kill you. Like, yeah, depending on the situation.
Now we're really going to torture you. Yeah. Now tell us. Yeah. Give us everything you know, that like top secret sensitive information. And now we know if we torture you enough, you tell us what we want to hear.
Yeah, I guess. Like, yeah, I guess, like, because then you become hostage. Whereas, like, if they can't get anything out of you, then you just die. Like, I understand that. But I just feel like they love just being like, they should know that at this certain point, you're supposed to do this.
It's okay. Like, Jenny, Dwight Howard got totally screwed here.
He got hosed.
He got hosed. Yeah, I went through the whole thing and he didn't even finish. He didn't even graduate.
Hashtag justice for Dwight.
Justice for Dwight Howard.
Poor man. Yeah. Yeah. He like passed out, or did he fall asleep?
No, neither.
He was just really cold and his pulse went like low. Yeah,
but then they said that the judges have decided that Dwight Howard is able to continue.
Yeah, the doctor's like, are you cold? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, okay, well, you're good. Otherwise, get back in there.
But then ultimately, he didn't say, I'm special forces.
He said, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. Which was me watching this show.
Is that bad? Should you not say that?
Should you not tell them, you know what? I'm ready. My time here is done.
Yeah. So that was poor Dwight Howard. He's out.
Probably telling the people that are interrogating you and potentially, like, you know, threatening to kill you that you are ready to die probably indicates to them they're not going to give me any information. Yeah. They are saying, bring it on, bitch.
Yes. Boy, Dwight Howard did not like that woman.
Oh, my God. Like, Debs is ops. Like, 100%. Dwight hated this woman. Just,
like, why didn't you talk to her? Like, I didn't like her. She's annoying.
Yeah. So they do this, like, should we talk about where, like, how we got here? Like, who these people are?
Yeah. This is just like the top, like,
what happened?
Big things that are like still like, I don't understand.
Yeah, trust me, I watched it and I still don't understand. But like, maybe together, Rob, you and I can try to make some sense of this. So obviously, this is the final phase of selection, the interrogation. Apparently, according to Billy, this is the worst phase of selection.
Worst.
At this point, I'm not questioning anything Billy says. Like, he terrifies me.
Yeah.
But so there, it's like 12 hours of military grade interrogation. And so this is not a job for the DS.
Yeah.
They are bringing in team of specialist interrogators that have like a combined experience of 30 years. And so you got John.
Yep.
You got Dilksy, whatever that means, and you got our girl Debs, Debs, and
I'm ready for the spinoff.
I hope they come back.
And don't forget about the umpire.
Well, so we meet John Dilksy and Debs first, and so they're the interrogators. We see their full faces. We meet them, and then they're like, and then don't forget the umpire. And it's just apparently because of his classified nature of work, he needs to be still somewhat anonymous. So instead of like,
is that why the umpires wear those masks, Jenny?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the calls they make, they probably do want to be anonymous. Like, what do you think if like the umpires in a baseball game, like, it's just a surprise. Like, you don't know which one. Do you think that people would be less angry? Or do you think people would be like, oh, I know that call. I know how, like, I know that voice.
Mm-hmm. I don't see how they could be less angry. So, yeah, I go for it. Or more angry.
I'd love to put them in, like, a full body suit so you can't really tell, like, who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, like, a voice modulator. It's like the masked singer, but it's, like, the masked umpire.
Yeah, when they make really, really bad calls.
Yeah. Take it off. Take it off. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so instead of blurring this man's face, like, you know, that you would get on like a Dateline thing where we don't meet the person, or like, and like the garbled voice, we get this guy's full voice there. You know, he's Scottish, I believe. And they just crop his like shots the entire time.
He has very distinct facial hair. Like,
I saw so much detail of this man's grizzly beard.
Right.
Like, I probably could have told you how many hairs were on his chin.
Very close up. And which ones were gray, which ones
were more of like a brownish, you know, like I saw so much. It was, yeah. But this is how they cropped this man to hide his identity. So, yeah, he's Scottish and he's got a gray beard. That's all I can tell you about the umpire, because I truly don't understand the point of him.
I don't understand the point. Like, I thought he was there to like call like the balls and strikes of when people are like ready to done being tortured. But I don't know.
No. And so the umpire introduces himself to the four we have left. And in case anyone wasn't keeping track, that is Danny, Dwight, Hannah, and Carly, our final four here. Mm-hmm. And so he meets them and he says, all right, I'm the umpire. And if at any point you want to leave this phase, you raise your hand and you ask for the umpire. Yeah. So like, his job is just to be like the person that gets called in when they want to quit. Like,
I don't know.
Couldn't they just call in anyone? Why is this man that we can't even like show his identity here? What is his purpose?
We don't know.
I don't understand, Ro. I thought you were going to help me understand.
No, I don't understand anything that happened in this episode. And then
it was like a fever dream, truly. I'm like, do I have a temperature? I don't know. I don't know if I'm well right now.
So they had to then give a scouting report to the torturers about everybody. And they really like were, for no reason, just complaining about Dwight Howard.
Yeah, they called him the problem child.
Yes.
And they like are just ragging on his ego, being like, oh, yeah, well, he acts up anytime you challenge him or
he's
anything
half-assing
like that.
It.
Yeah, we thought he was going to be good. He's big, but he just half-asses everything. I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, this man made it to the final four of, what did we start with, 16?
Yep.
What can this mean? What will he do to make you happy? Nothing is ever enough from Dwight Howard for these people.
Yeah, they're never happy with Dwight Howard. They've got a problem with him. And so, all right. First stage, Jenny, of interrogation is processing.
I am still in the first phase of interrogation of this episode because I am still processing what happened.
Yes.
I still don't understand.
And the first step of processing is you get in a room and then somebody yells at you to take all your clothes off.
Which is always the conditions that I want to be taking my clothes off.
I far be it from me. Like, if I was the if we had an umpire on it, maybe say like, hey, foul. Well, let's not have, like, we do have like a woman interrogator here.
Yeah.
Let's have her get in the room with the women and yell at them to take their clothes off and not either of our male torturers.
The giant, bald, strong men.
You yell at Hannah Brown's strip to her underwear. Girl. Now.
Yeah. The umpire should be in there calling the balls for sure. And like, you know, like really determining
there were some balls to this.
Yeah. There were.
For sure.
And spoiler, the balls dropped.
Okay. Danny Amendola got that wise guy smile. Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't like it. People were giving lip to the torturers, to the interrogators.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. So this is my take on this is, because they were sat down like the day before and they were given this story and like, you know, they had to like memorize it. I think to them, this part is like, and they said like, you're going to have to do a good acting job. And so they're like, now is my time to act. Mm-hmm. And so I think that some of these people like truly felt like they were like doing role play, which they were, but I don't think they're on the same page of the role play. Like,
right.
So I think that like for Danny, I think there was something like awkward enough about the situation where he's like, you're just a person that is hired to come in and yell at me. Like, you're acting right now.
Yeah.
I'm acting right now. And so like, he couldn't take it seriously, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that they were not really prepared for like the part of like what they were supposed to do. So like, I don't think they told them like, hey, when you're being tortured, just do whatever the torturer says,
yeah.
You know,
no.
I think that they were like, oh, this is like dinner theater. And like, okay, they're going to come in and they're going to be mean to you. And they're like being all like, I'm being like a wise ass, like Han Solo, I'm captured. And it's like, I'm making wisecracks.
And you got to sell your story. And so like, I think that some of these people are like, I'm going to have fun with it. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just an athlete. I've never been able to act in the theater. And like, they're like, this is my time. I have a story.
Yeah.
I have a role. And like, they see the other person as an actor because deep down they know this, none of this is real.
Yeah.
So I think that like for Danny, he's like having a hard time taking this seriously, where this person he had never seen before today comes into this room, makes him take his clothes off. And he's like, I'll make your life miserable. And Danny's like smirking and being like, I know.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, well, and then everyone's like, oh my God, he would get his teeth knocked out. Like he would be absolutely obliterated right now. It's like, Danny's just trying to like get through the rest of this at this point. He thinks like, that this is, well, cause they sat them down and they're like, okay, you got to learn all about the Arabian fox and every, or the Arabian wolf. And you need to learn everything, every detail about this. And you better have all of your facts straight. And
or what?
Probably no other preparation. So they're like, all right, now's my time. I act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the guy's like, so you want your clothes? Danny Bell's like, whatever, you know, it's 130 degrees out. I'm fine.
Yeah. Like we are in Jordan. Yeah. We are in the desert. It is hot. So like I'm cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, he should know he wants his clothes. He's offering clothes. Give him.
Yeah.
Everything is like, you should know better.
You should know better. You should know everything. Carly Lloyd is not doing great. She's struggling also with the interrogation.
So she gets Debs at first and Debs just asking questions and Carly doesn't know how to answer anything. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then Debs gets a crack at Dwight Howard.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I stan these two. Like, this is...
Ship them.
Debs and Dwight for Amazing Race, okay?
Yeah. Okay. She asks Dwight Howard, how tall are you? He says he's 5'11".
And she says, how? And he says, I wear stilts.
And she doesn't seem to know what stilts are.
No. Was she British or Scottish? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
There were Brits and Scots, I'm pretty sure.
She was a little bit like in Austin Powers, Frau Farchesna, I believe is her name. Yeah, she was the love interest for Dr. Evil.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's actually spot on, Rob. The yelling and the...
Yes, yes.
Bring in the lasers! Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you know what that is, please respond to us with gifts of Frau Farchesna.
Yeah. That was Debs.
Yes. Okay.
And she's like standing on a chair to talk to Dwight, who says he's 5'11", and then says that he wears stilts.
I think she liked him, like, and he made her mad.
Yeah. The like, what are you, comedian? Yeah. The DS watching this, they're just like, this is absolutely like, what is this?
They're mad.
And then we get like a confessional from Dwight where he basically says like, you know, he likes to play mind games on the court and that like, he just talks nonsense,
mm-hmm.
which that tracks.
Yeah.
This was nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she said, how many children do you have? He said, I have 20.
And he doesn't miss a beat too. Like he's like, I will say like Dwight was like quick with the answer, like improv king.
Yeah. I don't know if she knew if that was the right answer or not. She just said, what are you, a sperm donor?
Yeah. What are you, some kind of sperm donor?
Yeah. So.
And it's like, you know, yeah, like he could have 20 kids.
You don't
like,
know.
Yeah. You don't know his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She doesn't like him, she said.
No, yeah. She's not a fan. Was this when, did she throw the cold water on him?
I don't remember. Yes, he does. Yeah, he is going to get some cold water punishment.
Almost everyone gets the cold water. Like yes. They just get like a bucket of cold water like thrown on their face. Like,
which is might be refreshing.
Again, maybe that's what brought
them in the freaking desert. Down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jenny, the next part of the interrogation is when you get the bag on your head and then you listen to unpleasant noises for hours. And of course, the two most unpleasant sounds on earth are a crying baby and dial-up internet.
These are really, if there were more...
Sorry, everybody. Sorry, this is torture.
I'm actually going to have to quit the podcast. Yeah. If you continue this.
If you think it was torture to listen to this, just imagine what it was like to get on AOL in 1996.
Yeah. Remember picking up the phone and hearing that and just being like, oh, and then like mom's mad at you. And or I would get like, it'd or be like the mom other way around. Picks up the phone. Yeah. And she's like, Jenny, why are you on the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
ASL. Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, that probably would bring up very unpleasant memories for me.
ASL
so
is kind of like you're interrogating people, right? Like, it's like you're trying to learn everything about them.
So truthfully, I think I understand this because this does sound like hell to me, even though the only two sounds they gave us as an example were a crying baby and the dial-up tone.
Mm-hmm.
Two noises I personally would like be considering the VW for.
Yes.
Do you think that there were other noises?
Yeah.
Because it seemed like they were there for hours upon hours upon hours, and they had to like sit in like certain poses. Yeah. It seems. Because
I gotta be honest, like based off of just those two sounds, like I feel like Danny Amendola came off a little soft to quit the show after 10 days. Over
that's why I'm saying
AOL like, and a crying baby.
Yeah, he's like, I did it once. I can't do it again. Don't take me back.
I don't want to listen to this baby or AOL. Imagine being on a plane with Danny Amendola and you have an infant and the infant starts crying like, uh-oh. This guy.
He's taking the plane down.
This guy might
be VWing. He's going to VW.
He's going to open the door.
Yeah. So, like, here's another question. What is worse? Would you rather listen to just the dial-up tone and the crying baby
or,
for however many hours, or would you accept more variety of noises mixed in? But like now there's other options for different types of tones that are terrible, but you get some more variety.
I think so,
like,
more
what do you think is more? Yeah. Like variety is the spice of life.
Yeah.
So even if it's like, you know, the most assaulting spice of life. You're getting different tones,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, I guess I just don't know what else you could be hearing.
Honestly, like I never thought about like, okay, the internet dial-ups. I mean, it's kind of like white noise at some point, right?
I guess, but it like has like the higher pitch points where it goes up like, ear! Like, I don't know. I am very, very sound sensitive. Like certain noises sound like it makes my brain feel like it's being like knifed.
Oh my God.
So I don't know. It's possible that this would take me out.
Yeah. I mean, Danny Amendola had no problem getting gassed. But yeah,
he's like, gas me all you want. AOL break my noises. Freaking shoulder. But if I have to listen to this freaking crying baby.
Baby and AOL.
And the internet.
The internet. I'm out of here. Okay.
I don't know. That's why I just really want to know if there were more examples of what, like, were there the sounds of other tortured people? That would probably distress me.
Of the final four, Jenny, who would be most likely to answer our questions?
Hannah?
I think Hannah Brown, because she answered questions from TMZ in the airport. If she's talking to TMZ in an airport, maybe she might respond to, at least one of our mentions.
And Hannah doesn't quit. So, no. Yeah. That's what I'm putting my money on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
So if we can find out, because I do really think that the same two noises over and over for hours upon end, even if they aren't bad noises, would probably make me go insane.
It could. That's certainly a possibility. Okay. Yeah. All right. So they're going to start questioning them about the photo shoot. Carly seems to know absolutely nothing about the Grey Wolves.
Yeah, she got the Men in Black brain eraser thing. Like she's forgotten everything that was talked about.
Yeah.
I think at one point she misspoke and said Albanian wolf instead of Arabian.
Idiot.
And the interrogator just ate that up and said
Albanian wolf? Really? Oh,
is that a thing?
Is that a thing? Okay.
Yeah. They don't like this.
But Hannah Brown. Can't get anything past her. She's got that story on lock.
Yes, but she did a great job, I will say. But the one thing that really killed me was when they're asking her questions about you were out there alone in the desert. Like, what were you going to do if someone, came upon you? And she's like, well, the guy I was with, he's pretty tough. And they're like, what was his name? And she goes, Danny. And they say, what's his second name? And she goes, Amendola? Or what did she say? Amendillo or something?
Yeah.
And then they go, armadillo? She goes, close enough.
Yeah, that's a different animal. That's not what you're you're blowing your cover.
Is it the Albanian wolves, the Arabian wolves, or is it the frickin' armadillo?
Danny Armadillo.
Get your story straight.
Yeah. Okay. So
Danny Armadillo.
Also, then Hannah Brown's getting a little sassy with the interrogator also. So
she's having fun with it. And also they don't mind when she does
They love it. They eat up anything she does.
Yeah. Cause
that's why she was the Bachelorette.
Yeah, she's just got that charisma, because the one interrogator is drinking coffee and she's like, is it time for coffee? And then the Diaz are watching and they're like, that's it. Yeah. We're like, she's what is this?
Do you think, was it nighttime? And then she's like, boy, it's pretty late for you to drink coffee. Or was it the morning?
Listen, anytime is coffee time.
Yeah.
But they what was it about that question? They're like, oh, she's really rolling
she's
with it.
To them.
She's vamping. Yeah. She's vamping with the interrogators. Whereas when Dwight's doing it, they're you
falling
have no
in love
respect.
With her. Yes. I don't know. They loved it. They were eating it up.
They loved Hannah.
Meanwhile, though, Danny Amendola, that's it. He needs, there's 6 hours left. He needs the doctor.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard.
I think Danny needed
a
doctor.
Yeah. They both
maybe
needed a doctor.
A different kind.
Dwight Howard needed a doctor first. He can't sit up. He's unresponsive.
Yeah. So they're in the interrogation room. I don't know what cell I think they were calling it. Just seemed to be a room. Yeah. And they have them all in different positions. Like some of them are crouching, some of them are against the wall. It seemed like there was a point to it. And Dwight is just completely. What?
Was there a point?
Was there a point to any of this the last however many weeks? I don't know.
I think so
there's they tell us at the beginning of this show, no prize.
There's no point.
Winners. No point. This is special forces. So, yeah, Dwight is completely laid out on the floor on his back. And they're like, is he asleep? Is he okay? And then they check his pulse and they're like, oh, his pulse is really low. And they kept on showing us like close-ups of his wrist. Like, do you really think that we would be able to see his pulse from TV? Like, yeah. Like, what was the point of that?
Jenny, that's where the line where you draw, where's the point?
Since when?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Since when is there a point to the show?
Yeah.
They really were. I think they were just trying to say like, oh, his pulse is so low, like you can't see it on his wrist. It's like, right. I might not see it on his wrist if it was going fast. I don't know. This is movie magic.
Yeah. But they clear him instantly. They're like, Dwight Howard was cleared by the doctor. Umpires is game on.
I think truly he was asleep because he was conked out and they're like, oh, his pulse is very low. And then all of a sudden, like they get him up and they're like, are you okay? And he's like, I'm very cold.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, I think he just finally zenned out.
Jenny, after that, he bounced back because he was great in the questioning. They were like, oh, wow, yeah. he's really good.
He just needed a nap, I think, honestly.
No, and he also did not like the woman.
No. He was not a fan of the Debs.
Of Debs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gives great answers. And they're like, oh my God. They're like, wow, he's better at the cover story than he is not with a cover story.
Yeah. They couldn't believe it. They were like, and Billy was pissed off. He's like, why do you have to be such a dick at the start?
I don't know.
They're like, we can't even appreciate that he's doing what we want him to do because he once upon a time did something we didn't want him to do. It's like, mm-hmm. They can't see past anything this guy does wrong.
No.
They can't.
Danny Amendola has had enough. He's ripping out his headphones like many of the people that started listening to this podcast some 8 weeks ago. Like, yep. I can't. I'm out.
I'm VW-ing. Sorry. You're like, yeah, I love you, but not that much. And you know what? I get it.
Yeah.
Power to you.
Yeah. And get me the umpire. I got a VW. And they're like, what? Really?
Yeah. Now? It just like, he just snapped. He just was like, nah, I'm done. I can't. I cannot do this any longer.
Yeah.
And so he gets the umpire and the umpire is like, yo, what's up? That's a direct quote, of course. Mm-hmm. Umpire did say, yo, what's up? and Danny says, I can't deal with it anymore. And the umpire says, with what? He says, with the noises. So umpire says, oh, just with the noises. And he's like, well, also my hips hurt and my shoulders effed up.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, Billy,
but it's the noises, obviously. Like, he's
Billy busts in and he's like, that's it. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Like, give me your armband.
It had to have been bad, right? Like, I'm just trying to understand. Danny had so many other opportunities where, like, remember when him and Billy got in each other's face and he was like, he was ready to go and he didn't want to do this anymore. He got to the final day, mm-hmm. to the final stretch. And yes, his shoulder has been bothering him. He really, really messed his shoulder up. There's literally no more physical parts of this whole thing. Like, they know that. They know this is the end. It's just interrogation for 12 hours.
Yeah.
He's not going to need to use his shoulder. He did use his shoulder with the drown proofing or whatever. And he got through that.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine his shoulder was so bad that he couldn't hunch down.
Psychological was too much, Jenny.
Well, and they set us up for that because at the beginning, before they start the interrogation, they do their little recon on like everyone. They talk about their profile or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they said, Danny has crushed it. He's like passed everything, but the chink in his armor is psychological. And it's like a little foreshadowing because,
yep.
Yeah,
nailed
he
it.
Gave up yep. at this point. And he was like so quick with it. He was just like, yep, nope, that's not even it. A second. He said, don't take me back to the 90s, baby.
Yep.
And or as, the 90s with the baby.
As, yeah. and as they used to say back on AOL.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
That's it.
Yeah. Bye. See you never. I liked Danny.
Yep. So.
He was
fine. Yeah.
I think that there was something to what they said. I think, you know, he's clearly a very physically fit a hardworking guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's still some soul searching there for him.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm Jenny, just trying to make sense.
I don't know. He's always a patriot to me. And I'm not talking about true serving patriot in the special love. Forces. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. They got a new ploy. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. All right. We're going to get Carly and Hannah in the room and we're going to give them both an easel and then they have to match their answers. A little bit like a newlywed game.
Everything is straight out of the 90s in this episode. Like you have the chart paper from like high school class where you had to do like a group project together and you all got together with the freaking markers with the easel thing. And they're on either side of the paper and they're being asked the same questions and they have to answer it with these. The markers didn't even look like they had a lot of ink in them, which
they don't give them good markers.
They would murder me, Rob.
Why?
Because I would be like, can I get a better marker?
Billy would, his head would explode.
No, I am a snob when it comes to my writing utensils. Mm. I bring my own pen to trivia.
Wow.
What
about on Survivor? If the marker was not, would you walk out and say, Jeff, I'm sorry, do we have a better marker?
Yeah. I was like, I don't feel like I'm going to be able to properly write the name that I need to write with this.
And he would be
I
like, cannot fail!
Work under these circumstances. There's not like, okay, if I had to do a pet peeve for my Survivor bio.
Yeah.
And Taryn Armstrong, if you're listening, you are not listening. The 0% chance listening. But if you ever come across my pet peeve list, I think I'm adding bad pens and markers that have like not enough ink left in them and having to use one of them. Mm. That is painful. And I like Hannah was writing straight up novels. She was writing full on sentences with this like dried out freaking marker. I it was painful to watch. That was my torture. It was watching her try to write with this dry Sharpie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay. Well, she has long answers to write. Carly has like nothing. Who's your emergency contact? Olivia Weber. Carly writes her husband's name.
Yeah. Yeah. Carly, I think, is just in a haze this entire final phase. And so, yeah, when they're asked who your emergency contact is, clearly there was a part of the story where there was an emergency contact and it's this Olivia Weber person. Hannah gets it right because she's a star.
Yeah.
And Carly answers the question like she's at the hospital.
Yeah.
And she's giving the real answer, her real life husband.
No, that is not the right answer. And they ask for the local guide. Carly Lloyd doesn't know it. These guys are just going nuts and just yelling and throwing the water. That's it.
Yeah. So at one point they like are talking to them really nicely. And then all of a sudden they get really mad and they like toss the easel and the with the paper chart thing across the room, like out of nowhere. And then like scream at them, like, "You're lying!" And then throw water on them. It's like it all just escalated so quickly.
And they know there's only a couple hours left. It's hell night. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, they really did not like that Carly did not have answers. And apparently, I think they probably didn't like how long Hannah's answers were. She's like writing. She was like,
she knew too
she
much.
Was like, it was an essay and she was trying to get the word count in. She was like, how many more words can I put in this sentence to make it sound believable?
Jenny, let's get back to Dwight Howard because this is a sad part of the story. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dwight Howard, they're gonna throw him in the box, okay? Yeah, and
it's time to go in the box.
Time to go in the box, and now this is really his last chance, okay? They want to know what he's doing here, and what we find out is that he needs to tell them he's special forces.
Yeah, so we are all supposed to know that you get to a certain point where you need to make yourself valuable to the interrogators so they don't kill you.
Yeah, you need to seduce them in some way. Yes. Like that, they're like, he's not so bad. Keep him around.
Which I think he Dwight was useful. Trying to do to an extent. Yeah. He was like trying to entertain them. He's like, what kind of riddle can we get out of him next?
Yeah.
But apparently the magic word at this point is I am part of the special forces.
Yes. Okay.
And I don't think Dwight knew this.
Yes. He didn't know that because when they put him in they locked him in the box. They said, all right, Dwight, it's your last chance. And he responded, I'm ready to die. Is that wrong?
I mean, is it wrong to be ready to die or is it wrong? Is that the wrong response?
Wrong answer? Yeah.
Well, I mean, clearly it was the wrong answer. Mm. But I don't know. I think that he thought, okay, well, I get to the end and I tell them, okay, we're done. Yeah. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're like, oh, well, That's going to get you killed. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he just asked to die. So
yeah, he wrote his letter. He's ready.
Yeah, he's good to go.
The umpire says, you're out.
Yeah, he out. Yeah, so he removes him. But the umpire gives no explanations, which, you know what? That actually kind of tracks.
They just call the balls and strikes. Yeah.
He's just there to make the calls. And then he says, listen, the DS will come in and explain this to you.
Yeah. Okay. You're not
again,
successful.
What
Dwight.
Is the umpire doing? Like, he's not even a personality hire. What is going on here?
I don't know. Okay. And so basically, maybe he's like the producers want everybody to do well. And maybe the umpire is there to like has the final call.
I guess
judge,
so.
Jury, and executioner for the special forces. All right.
Yeah. He's like, okay, well, you're out, and I don't have to explain anything. So these guys will come in and tell you.
And they ask him like, what was your problem? Like, we gave you the training. He's like, I didn't want to talk to that lady.
Yeah, they're like, you need to, you know, like this was the point. You were supposed to build rapport with them so that they have a reason to keep you around and not kill them. And Dwight's like, I thought I was doing really good with the one guy. And then he's like, well, why didn't you want to talk to he's like, I just didn't want to talk to that lady. She was like annoying.
She's annoying.
Remy's like, that's the job, brother. He's like, you would have gotten killed. They're like, yeah. So it's like, I did ask them to kill me. So, I mean, understandable.
I couldn't believe they kicked him out right at the end. Like, he's like 1 hour away from.
I know. Imagine,
like, you did 10 GD days of this show. And there's 1 hour left. And they say, you're done.
Because you didn't want to talk to a woman. Because you hated Debs so much. That was your undoing. some Scottish woman named Debs shouting at you.
Everybody has their breaking point.
Yeah, I guess it's for Danny, it's AOL, it's babies, and for Dwight, it's some lady named Debs.
Everybody has their thumb screw.
Yeah, yep. That was it. And they did say it was an honor training him.
Yes.
Which I was like, really?
Might have been a lie.
You seem to hate this man.
All right. So it's down to Carly and Hannah, and they throw them in the hole together. Okay.
Run the world, girls?
They need to recognize the threat to their life. Now, I kind of feel like that Hannah kind of like they put Carly in her own box. I don't think she makes it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, Hannah carried.
Yeah.
Carly. Like, why did they decide to put them together at like,
and they knew that Carly
they put
was
them together gonna, yeah. while Dwight was still there. It wasn't even like, okay, you're the last two, so now you guys are together. Dwight was still on the course at this point when they started having
maybe
them
they only have two boxes
together. Perhaps, but I think Dwight was already out of the box. I think they only had one box,
maybe,
but they had them in the room during the other part of the interrogation with the questioning at that point. So I don't know. To me, it was giving like, oh, these dumb girls are not going to be able to keep their stories straight. Like, let's put them together. They're like, they're bound to make a mistake or like start chatting about clothes and shoes. Like,
I mean, in fairness, most of the interrogations were about clothes and shoes.
There was a lot about, yeah, there was so much. At one point they asked Dwight, because he was like really cold. They're like, do you want clothes? And he's like, I wouldn't mind a new shirt.
Yeah. With the guy he hit it off with. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There was a lot.
So they threw them in the box. They put them in the box. And they tell us, like, if you find yourself buried in a box, that's when you talk about being in the special forces. Yeah. Everybody knows this.
Obviously, everyone knows this except for the people that you were training that probably were not told this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe they were told. I don't know. I have to think that they weren't, though.
I don't know.
Think Dwight's saying, I'm ready to die if he knows that that's what he's supposed to do.
Hannah was the one that was able to realize, like, hey, they want us to escape. So maybe she's able to, like, read between the lines on some of these things where everybody else isn't.
Strategic queen, because she's the reason they got out of that shipping container last week,
and then she's the reason they get out of this container, because that she says, hey, we're working with special forces, and like, wow, you just might have saved your own lives.
They lost their mind, the DS. They were so excited. And it was funny because, like, they're in the box, like, so you see the camera on Carly and Hannah, and like, you know it's getting real when they start putting the sand on top of the box, and it's like trickling through the, like,
oh my god,
you know, the slats of the box or whatever. I'm like, oh no, and they're like, oh, what do we do? And I think Carly was like malnourished or something. Like, there was no, she looked like she was really struggling. And honestly, I think
hours.
That's true. That is true. They didn't have their expired bean salad, but Hannah, like, if Hannah hadn't piped up and said, we're the special forces, like, I think that we might have gotten our second, I'm ready to die. Like, I don't know what Carly would have said if she was alone.
I don't know.
Like, I think she knew that something needed to happen at that point, but I'm not certain she knew what needed to happen.
Okay. So, Jenny, then I felt like the show was then saying, like, all right, two people made it, but we have to pick a winner.
Only one. Yeah. I have two pictures in front of me.
Because they talked about the pros and cons of both of them, and we're going on and on and on. And I was completely gobsmacked when they said, okay, you both win. You both graduate.
Well, first of all, there are no winners.
Yes, no winners.
Certainly
no
not us.
And no point.
No point. No prize. But yeah, they did really frame it as like, okay, well, we're down to these. And just because you pass the final phase doesn't mean that you're good enough to stand beside us.
Yeah.
And passing isn't always enough. And so, like, it did seem like they were trying to decide, like, they're weighing their different strengths. They're like, oh, well, you know, Carly learns from her mistakes, and, you know, Hannah's had a great attitude the whole time, and, you know,
but she has blah, asthma. Blah, blah.
And also the asthma, she's gotten past that.
Yeah. And then I was like, completely, wait, what? When they're shaking their hands on the stage.
Yeah, the you know what the win was, like, the prize that they got when they announced, congratulations, you've passed the course, to both of them. Mm-hmm. They get to come up onto the weird, like, stage thing that was there. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
And then the prize is you get to hug them. These men that have been shouting at you for.
But it was like, so, the presentation was so odd, because they spent like 5 minutes like talking about like their pros and cons. Like, they had to select one.
Yeah. And they said, we choose you both.
Yeah. And they said, we have to make a decision. I guess the decision was, do we let them both in or not?
I guess so. I think. Yeah, it would have been like, how do you feel when this ends and they say, listen, you guys both did a great job, but there were enough, you know, issues along the way that we just can't in good faith say that we would feel safe, you know, having you on the team.
I mean, the and winner like, should have no been one Hannah. Wins. It should have been Hannah and not Carly.
Been. I would have been happy.
Hannah like, carried Carly at the end.
Carly was a corpse.
Yes.
She was being carried along. Like, she was weakened at Bernie's, like, through this entire final phase. There was nothing happening behind the eyes. And listen, I get it. Like, I don't think that this was easy whatsoever, but I'm just saying, like, the only thing that they pointed to with Carly was like, oh, well, when you have failures, you bounce back. And like, they kept showing the one time that they were happy with her performance, which was when she beat the shit out of Hannah. It's like, not even a fair fight. Like, that was the thing they were happy with.
Yep.
Remember that one time where
I remember
took you, a pro athlete, and this girl who's smaller than you and is not a pro athlete, and said, beat Fight. Her. Mm-hmm. And you did.
You did it.
Wow, you did a great job. That was the one thing.
And they said,
yeah, it should have just been Hannah, but it's fine. I'm not really fussed about it. It was
okay.
Whatever.
Great work. Time to go home. And then we
get in a helicopter. Yeah,
Foxy tells us it's about character.
Yeah, I guess. But they like, here's the thing, like, they had been commending Hannah's character the whole time, pretty much.
Yep.
And I don't know. I just felt like things got a little wrapped up into a box very last minute. They're like, we can't say no to one of them.
You
need
to say your special forces. You get out of the box. That's it.
Woo, special forces. They did it. Yeah, it was so awkward and uncomfortable, like, watching the participation trophy of it all, you know?
Hey.
Gosh, these entitled millennials, eh?
These entitled millennial special forces people. Okay.
Everyone just thinks that they can be special forces.
Yeah. Jenny, that's it. We did it. Great work. Time to go home.
Are we taking the helicopter?
Yep. We did it.
I cannot wait to wash my hair like Hannah.
Yes.
That was like, they have like these like big emotional, like, final confessionals where like Carly's like, I have a new perspective. Like, I'm going to learn to like let my emotions flow.
Okay.
And like, Hannah's like,
is that the lesson?
I'm leaving more confident. I'm really proud of myself. And I really can't wait to have a real shower and wash my hair.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
Let's talk
and
big
picture. And that's why she's our relatable queen.
Yeah.
You know, she keeps it real.
Jenny, let's talk about like what we've learned here over 10 hours of Special Forces. Well, what's your takeaway from this?
I will never do this if given the opportunity.
Sure.
Ever. No matter the price. Yes. And you know what? There are some reality shows for celebrities that don't need to exist.
Yes.
There are things that you don't need to test yourself on to become a better person. And I think a good therapist, you know, while they don't pay you, I think that, you know, you don't have to starve yourself and put yourself under physical duress for 10 days to get some, you know, to get some self-growth. I don't know.
Yeah.
What have you learned, Rob?
I mean, what I've learned is that I did not enjoy Special Forces World Success. I enjoyed getting together with you, Jenny, every week. We will continue to do so. But that being said, I think reality TV is escapism. I think that you want to have something that is fun on some level with interesting personalities, potentially. That may or may not be a game. I think if you wanted to make a documentary about what it was like for people to be in the Special Forces, I think that that might be a different show,
like niche for the kind of, you know, the person that is like really interested in what that process looks like and seeing some
random celebrities through this process. Again, I don't think that this was a good format for a show.
Yeah. Especially because, like, you know, when we had pro athletes not even make it to the end. Like people that are like extremely physically fit. In what world were we ever going to have like actual like reality stars or like Anthony Scaramucci? I mean, like, well, that's what I'm saying. But like, it's weird. Like that's why it's like very impressive that she made it. But like, there's just, I don't feel like I personally gained anything except for maybe resilience and proving to myself, even though I kind of knew that Rob, you and I, we can
podcast anything.
We can podcast anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we learned some things. We learned who Gus Kenworthy is and Carly Lloyd.
We learned about some people.
Yeah.
And what, I don't know. I'm sure there are some facts along the way that we learned. Like
we learned about the Arabian wolf. Yeah.
Yeah. 26 inches.
Don't, we won't ever forget that. So
don't. Yeah.
It's about the friends we made across the way. And we learned about what, how to pay the man.
Yes. Get your Remy merch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny. It was so funny watching like their spirits change as soon as it was over. Like, I think that this ends, they get into the helicopter, they go for a beer, right? All of them.
Everybody. Yeah.
Hannah, Carly, do you
even
think
Dwight
they meet?
Howard. Yeah.
Dwight, meet up, Dwight and
yeah.
Danny were probably still there.
Yeah.
Like,
do you think they let Debs come?
Yeah. I wonder how bitter Dwight is at Debs that like she was the one thing that stood between him and the success.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. Has Dwight Howard
like
spoken
Night Tower,
about this?
Night Tower is about her. Like, Debs, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, have any of these people really been talking about? Maybe we'll get the answers now.
Yeah, other than when Hannah Brown was at approached by TMZ.
And talking about Dwight farting in the...
Yeah.
In the barracks.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's all we've learned.
Yeah, Dwight Howard is kind of an active tweeter, but he did a Twitter Spaces Q&A a couple days ago.
Oh.
I don't know if he's been talking about Special Forces, though.
Oh, you think he's just doing like
yeah.
Twitter Spaces?
He does a lot of, his Twitter Spaces most recently have been Q&A. He did one called Talk Sports. He did one called Life, Purpose Q&A. He did another one called Life. He did another one called Everything.
Okay.
He did
better Q&A than QAnon.
Yeah, for sure. he also did his one Special Forces tweet was if you were set on fire, what would you do? He
I don't know, probably trying to get myself out of fire.
Yeah. Okay.
Take the fire out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's retweeted a couple of things about the show. But not many.
I want him to retweet the amazing Beverly Mitchell gifts that I discovered thanks to one of our incredible listeners that brought it to my attention that if you search Special Forces in the gifts on Twitter, there's just like endless Beverly Mitchell like self-made gifts of her in like her like regalia and like doing all of these weird poses and like
I got this. This is like, yeah,
it's all like she made these herself. It's just her.
Yeah,
please check this out if you've not already. Search Special Forces in your gifts bar on Twitter.
Yes.
And see all of the amazing things that Beverly Mitchell is doing.
Yes, I am looking at them currently and yeah. Is this what you're seeing, Jenny?
Yep. There's like a whole bunch
Special
of
Forces
them.
On Fox.
What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah. Is this safe? Honestly, I could not even tell you one thing that happened with her on the show. Was this who Gus hated?
No, that was the other Olympian. Something.
Yeah.
Luskia?
Yes.
Nastia Lusk? Is that her name?
I don't know. This is not real. Isn't happening.
I would be murdered if I had to do the interrogation on this season.
Yeah. Okay.
I would be, please, I'm ready to die.
All right. Jenny, I think that sounds means.
Oh no!
I think our time is coming to an end.
Yeah, mom's mad at me. Off. I need to get off the internet. Sorry, mom.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's not good. That's not pleasant.
Oh. Yeah, I'm BWing. It's brutal.
You've got mail.
Oh, okay. Okay. Jenny, that's it for Special Forces.
Yeah, of course, we did. I'm so proud of us, honestly. And I'm proud of the listeners.
Next week.
I'm proud of anyone who stuck through this whole journey. And yeah, I think it was just definitely a learning experience for us in that just because we want to chat every week, we don't have to talk about things that
we don't have to torture ourselves.
Yes. We did not necessarily sign up for we did without realizing it that we signed up for the world's toughest test.
It was my bad. My fault.
No, Rob. Mike Piazza. Rob, we are a team, okay? And another thing I've learned through this is, you know, my mistakes fall on you. Yep. Your mistakes fall on me. We are together. We gotta be responsible for each other. You know, we're a team here, so don't worry about it. We did it.
Jenny, we kick off the Survivor 44 coverage on Wednesday night here on Rob's podcast, 10:15 p.m. Eastern for Survivor Know-It-Alls. We get it all started after the 2-hour Survivor premiere. What's coming up for you?
Well, I just did the 90 Day the Other Way episode 4 recap with Puya. That is a new season that's kicked off with new people. So I had a really good time chatting with Puya about that. Check that out on the Reality Rehab Ups feed, the 90 Day Fiance feed. And other than that, just looking forward to the next journey with you, because
Farmer Wants a Wife
brings me joy. Yeah,
coming up next Wednesday
night. Jenny Wants
a
Podcast.
Yes.
Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yeah, we will be tackling that there. Thank you so much to everybody who came along with us on this journey. We appreciate you so much. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.